The following is a commentary podcast brought to you by Science Magazine. In recent years, RNA research has exploded, making RNA one of the hottest areas of study in biology. Now, some scientists even think that these pieces of molecular information are not confined to the cell they were made in, but may actually move outside of an organism to help it integrate into its environment. I'm chatting with commentary author Eric Miska about his article, Is There Social RNA?, appearing in Science this week. So, Dr. Miska, what is social RNA, and how did you come to this idea?
So social RNA is something that I coined a couple of months ago. In fact, I was going to give a talk at a conference on small RNAs, and I thought social RNA would be a good way to convey what we are trying to find in the lab, namely RNA that communicates between organisms and possibly also between different species.
So do you think we'll have the answer to whether social RNA exists in the near future?
I hope so. In a way, this piece, which was really fun to write with my postdoc, Peter Sarkis, was to try to stimulate the field to try to pick up this idea that RNA communication exists between organisms, but still has not been proven in the wild. Very recently, there were some new cues. For example, we and others have shown that RNA can move and carry information efficiently from one generation to the next in C. elegans, and this can last for many generations. So transgenerational effects involving RNA as the communicating agent has been shown, but we still don't understand why animals such as C. elegans would take up RNA from the environment and what the biological role is. So I think I want to stimulate the quest with this piece to try to identify why this is happening.
So how much buzz is this topic generating? Are you hearing about anyone else in your field working on it?
I think there are a number of labs really excited about the idea. I mean, specifically in the C. elegans community, it's a big open question that needs to be addressed. However, I was trying to reach with this piece other laboratories not considering C. elegans. Specifically, there's huge interest in RNA and possible roles in RNA communication in mammals. There is, in fact, great potential for identifying the mechanisms of how RNA can move between cells within an organism, for example, humans, as there's a great hope in RNAi therapies, the idea that one can deliver a small RNA molecule to knock down a gene that is misexpressed in disease, for example. And there is a lot of biotech investment in trying to develop such tools. But it turns out it's very hard to deliver RNA to, for example, a tumor in a cancer patient. So the wild speculation, or what I would suggest, is that by solving the problem of how do RNAs communicate in a simple organism such as C. elegans, by understanding how this works, maybe we can learn or get new ideas how to deliver RNAi therapeutics in humans.
That's really interesting. You know, along those lines, in your paper, you mentioned a hypothesis that C. elegans could actually directly share small RNAs with one another to create herd immunity to a certain virus. Could small RNA treatment for bacterial and viral infections be a thing of the future?
Well, I think at the moment this is pure speculation, but I agree that it would be exciting to see how what is happening in C. elegans translates to human biology. And the big problem at the moment is that even in C. elegans, we don't understand how the RNA gets taken up into the organism and how it moves around within the organism. Also, we don't understand what requirements there are for RNA to be specifically taken up by the organism. I think if we understand, I have answers to these questions, we would be in a better position to test directly if similar mechanisms might work also in humans. And then I think there would be lots of opportunities in different disease areas, including infectious disease. Yes.
So you've been talking about how there are mechanisms that allow organisms to actually take up RNA from their surroundings, but scientists don't know exactly what their purpose is. In your paper, you mentioned that parasites may use these pathways to absorb RNA from their hosts and actually regulate genes in response to life cycle cues. Could you talk about this possible host-parasite interaction and the idea of an RNA arms race?
So for us, this idea really started with a practical quest. namely to try to find out what RNA C. elegans might be taking up in the wild, we have to learn more about C. elegans in the wild. And the truth is that while C. elegans is a great model organism in the lab, its ecology is not well understood. And we don't know what other organisms cohabited and what the real food source for C. elegans is, what bacteria C. elegans feed on in the wild. In contrast, we know very well what parasites eat, namely their host, while they're in it. And therefore, we are using this in the lab as a starting point to investigate if parasitic nematodes can take up RNA from their host. And indeed, previous work by others have shown that a plant parasitic nematode can be destroyed using RNAi that is targeted to the plant that the parasite is eating. Again, this is an artificial lab set up, but this was one example of a clear demonstration of RNAi therapeutics to destroy a parasite using a transgenic plant. So by exploring similar relationships between different parasites and their host, we are trying to understand if in nature such communication is happening. And for the moment, we are not sure, is the parasite exploiting the host or is the host protecting itself from the parasite? Or is there, as you suggest, in fact, an arms race that involves RNA?
So if evidence builds for social RNA in lab model systems, what are the big picture implications for it?
I think it is very early days, and it is a very speculative piece. But if we can find out what are the mechanisms that move RNA within the organism and between organisms, I do believe that these data might provide new starting points for RNA therapeutics. This idea that we could design or modify RNAs in such a way that the human body would take it up and deliver it to particular cell types, and this could be then exploited in a therapeutic setting. I think this is the big picture, but at the moment, highly speculative.
Dr. Eric Miska, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Read Eric's perspective article, Is There Social RNA? In Science's August 2nd issue. I'm Nisha Giridharan. On behalf of Science Magazine and our publishers, AAAS, thank you for joining us.